with the Lord. So we have established that it is important, very, very important, that you must see yourself as God has seen you. That the vision you have of your life must reflect consistently the word of truth concerning your life. God has a vision for your life. You must know what it is, accept it, and run with it. In order for your life to have meaning, don't live a life where you are existing. Each day of your life, you got to take stock of your life and ask yourself one simple question. What have I done today that made me a better person? What have I done today that made somebody, another person, a better person? How have my life today contributed to the overall good of the kingdom of God? Whom have I influenced for God? You got to ask that question. Because if you're caught up in the miasma of life and trying to run after life, as many of us are doing, we end up living a life of misery and pain because there is nothing that gratifies us. And Friday was a very challenging day for me. And over this weekend. But on Friday night, as I, by the grace of God, had time to be with people who are struggling with addiction and whose family members are struggling, and we had a wonderful time, I left so fulfilled, so refreshed, so energized. When you understand what living is, the challenges of your life become irrelevant in the face of the vision of God for your life. You begin to appreciate better what it means to live a life of vision. So this morning, I'm not asking you to just have a vision of a good house to live in. It is good. A good car to drive, that is good. A good wife like mine to get married to, that is wonderful. Have wonderful, beautiful children. It is awesome. Okay? Each of those things are good. But at the end of it all, there is something that is important. Have my life counted? Am I making a difference? And in what ways am I making a difference? This is not about ministry. This is about vision for life. Hallelujah. So come with me today as we explore the characters of a visionary. This morning we've been looking at vision and greatness. And last Sunday we established that greatness, as it relates to God's own definition of it, has nothing to do with materialistic things. It has to do with fulfilling divine minded. Jesus was a great man, but you know he never had any house of his own. 33 years of life, he had no house of his own. He didn't have a horse of his own. As a matter of fact, when he needed one, he sent his disciple, go over there. You're going to see a cart tied. Untie it. If they ask you, tell them I have need of it. He didn't even pay for it to begin with. Come on now. Huh? He didn't pay for it. Go get it. I need to use it. And he used it. He had none. One disciple said, where are you living? He said, foxes live in holes and birds live in net. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Oh, didn't you read that? The greatest man that ever lived. But he lived a fulfilled life. It's not that you shouldn't have those. But what is your life all about? What are you living for? I'm going to ask this question until maybe some of you start hating me for it. But I'm going to ask you anyway. Because at the end of the day, I am accountable for your life. I have a stake in your life. Life must be lived as God has ordained it to be. What is the vision of God in your life that you're living for? Greatness in the kingdom, greatness according to God, is fulfilling the vision that God has for your life. And for you to do that, there are certain characters you must develop, possess, and live by in order for you to fulfill your vision. Many people have great visions. Amen. But they die with it. It's unaccomplished. Books that are not written. Destinies that were supposed to be changed and turned around by their lives but never happened because they never developed the character that were necessary in order for them to fulfill their vision. But I pray for you today that in the name of Jesus, that will not be your story. I said, that will not be your story. God has given you greatness already. For as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to be sons of God. There is nothing greater in this life than to be the son of God. Nothing greater in this life than to bear the name of God. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 12. God has already made you great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must receive the vision of God for your life. You must receive that understanding that I am called unto greatness. But receiving that is not sufficient. You must ask yourself, do I possess the character and the qualities that will allow this greatness and this great vision that God has for me to come to fruition? Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 So don't sit back and applaud yourself if there is nothing you're doing daily to make progress towards the vision that God has given to your life. We must understand, we must agree that vision is what determines and affects our perspective to life. I look at life yesterday, someone in this church, we had time together, and he was asking me, how do you do these things? I look at your life. I look at the things you go through. I look at what you're sharing with me has been happening. How do you do it? I said, the first thing is that my perspective to life has been God-centric. I look at life from God's perspective. I choose to do so. And when I do that, my emotion fall in line. Do I get it right every day? No, I don't get it right every day. But do I make a determined effort? Yes, I do. Because I know that if I lose sight of the fact that my life is not my own anymore, then I claim responsibility over the things that are going on in my life. I talk to God. I pray. I believe him. And I trust him. But above all things, I've come to know that he is a good God. And there is nothing in hell that can take that from me. I may question certain things that are going on, but it does not change the fact that I know he loves me. And no matter how I feel and how things may go, I wake up each morning with a conviction that it's yet another good day. I may not be where I want to be, but I am not where I used to be. I may not have arrived, but I'm kicking. I'm still alive. I'm still pushing. The devil is a liar. I don't care how much he lies to me, and I don't care how much he whispers to my ear. Look at your life. Look at your ministry. Look at this. I started praying for Rebuilders Apostolic Ministry more than 20 years ago. Every department, music, ministry, my wife knows. There were days and times I spent night at my office praying. When I got to the understanding that God wanted this to be what it is, and there are many things I've prayed for that are still not where they should be. Ah, you can get discouraged. You can get discouraged. He was with me here yesterday. And he asked me, Pastor, why are you doing all this? I said, if there's nobody to do it, I'm going to do it. Because I know God called me. And I know that what I do here doesn't define who I am. I know it's an honor to serve God. I know that. I know God could have called anybody, used anybody. Who am I that is so pleased to put his hand on me? The vision God has given to you, you must love it. You must cherish. Because what you don't love, you don't honor. What you don't love, you don't have drive for. What you don't love, you're not committed to it. Are you committed to representing God wherever he sent you? Irrespective of how things are in your life. Some of us only speak of God when everything is good. When our life turns upside down, we say, God, I see you when I see you. No, you continue to walk with God in spite of, because what proves loyalty is not the good days. You want to see people who are loyal? You find them when the going get tough. They don't jump boat. They're like Paul. They say to themselves, I have made up my mind. Even if this ship wrecked, we're going to get to Rome. Because there is a family in Rome that must hear the gospel. Amen. I don't care if the viper, you know, festered on my hand and jump on me. There is a man over there who needs healing. I'm going to go over there and heal him for God. So don't sit here and look at life as though yours is the worst. Have you been to hospitals of late? Have you gone to mental institutions of late? Have you visited people who don't have where to sleep? Who stench and the stench of their body because they've not showered for weeks, sleeping under bridges. And yet some of them, when you talk to them, they tell you, I find God. Hey. We must find a reason to know that the vision of God in our life needs us to grow up to certain characters if we're going to fulfill it. So, here is a story of a people who lacked characters for the realization of vision. The children of Israel. In Numbers 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people. He quieted them before Moses and said unto them, let us go up at once and possess it. Why? For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own eyes, our perception of ourselves, we are that of grasshopper. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so we believe they also saw us. I want you to think about that for a minute. When you read back, these were not male people. They were not male men. They were leaders. They were what? They were what? They were what? They were leaders. Each one of them were leaders of tribes. The Lord asked Moses, choose them, send them, let them scout out the land. When they were coming back, they carried evidence of the goodness of God in that land. But their conception of the vision that God gave to them about the land was not in line with what God said. They did not possess the character of a visionary. They saw with their physical eyes as against with their spiritual eyes. They saw with their physical eyes. They couldn't believe that with God in their life, it was possible. Now remember that these are the same people who came out of Egypt. Remember that these are the people who saw the Red Sea parted. Remember that these are people who have been eaten of the manna. Remember that these are the people who have seen Jordan divide. Remember that these are people who have seen many miracles. So it is not miracles that causes you to have character. It's not what God has done for you that makes you to believe in him. It goes beyond that. What instilled the character of a visionary is a conviction in who God is. A conviction in who God is. A conviction in who God is. It goes beyond what. There are things, every one of us who have had time to complain, when you look back in your life, there are things God have done for you. Why didn't those things stop you from complaining? You still complain. In spite. In spite. So this morning, it is critical that you understand, it is imperative that you understand and that you accept that your vision of greatness must be anchored on God, on scriptures. Amen? Very important. Very important. Hallelujah. Then when you receive this vision, it challenges you. It challenges you to accept the truth that no vision in life is accomplished by wishful thinking or just mere desires. Oh, I desire that Delaware come to God. I desire that Rebuilders Apostolic Ministry be the largest church in America. Numerically, I desire this. What are you doing about it? I desire that my family be the best family. What are you doing about it? Oh, I wish that that person loves me better. What are you doing about it? What you do not invest in does not happen. No investment, no accomplishment. It's not a wishful stuff. You got to go beyond receiving a vision and wishing that it be and come to the place where you are committed to that vision. Committed to the vision of raising your children to be who God wants them to be. Committed to the vision of a great life and a great ministry. Committed to a vision of a great marriage. Committed to a vision of a great friendship. There is nothing in life that exists in isolation. And therefore, when you isolate yourself from the things you need to focus on, they die. When vision is left on its own, it cannot work out itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. That for you to accomplish any vision, you must possess and exhibit certain characteristics or characters that ensure the survivability of your vision. Why? Character is the bedrock of accomplishment. It is the bedrock of survivability. It is the bedrock of sustainability. There is no venture. There is no enterprise. Even in your marriage, many marriages have folded up because of character. Relationships are ruined by it. Organizations come to ruin by virtue of corporate character. When greed, you know greed is a character? Do you know that? Greed is a character. When greed becomes the prevailing characteristics of an organization, it will collapse. It will fall. Amen? So no matter how big anything is, if there are no good and godly character to that, it cannot survive. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ventures succeed and fall on the basis of character. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The challenge with vision and greatness is not the lack of a great vision. Each one of you here have a great vision. You have a great vision for your life. I believe it. You have a great vision for your family. I believe it. You have a great vision for this ministry. I believe it. You have a great vision for your community. I believe it. Amen. But the challenge is not having a great vision. The challenge is that many of us lack the character that is needed for this great vision to come to life. Amen. So what do we see here in Numbers 13, 30 to 33? Number one, we see that God has given the children of Israel a great vision of their lives and their destiny. God had given them a great vision. He said to them, I'm giving you the land of Canaan. I'm calling you to possess an inheritance. I'm giving you something in life to look forward to work for. Hallelujah. Secondly, we see here that God expected them to believe in that vision, to have faith in it, to believe that it is possible, to believe that they can do it, to believe also in Him, God, that what He promised and what He has said to be, He means it. And that He's committed to ensuring that His own end of the bargain, He will fulfill it. He expected them to understand that challenges are going to be part of it. He expected them not to run away. Hallelujah. He expected them not to run away. No matter how hard the vision God has given to you is, don't run away from it. Don't back out. Because for God to give you something to do, number one, God believes you can do it. God has never invested in anybody or called you to anything that He does not have faith and confidence in you to have the ability to do it. The challenge is, do you believe it? Do you see it that way? Because a lot of us complain, this is too difficult, this is too hard, this is too difficult. The strength and the energy you use in complaining, please put it to work. Put it to work. Use it for the very thing you're complaining, you will move a step forward. But when we get stuck in our minds and in our attitudes, complaining and whining about what ultimately we got to do. We blame ourselves, and most of the time we blame the devil, and often we look for who to blame. Hallelujah. You are a person of vision. There is a great vision for your life, a great vision in your life. I pray that you will arise today. I pray that you will arise today. I pray that you will arise today. I pray that your heart will arise today. I pray that your spirit will believe in it today. I pray that you see yourself as God sees you. Please take care of that child. I don't want that back and forth in the sanctuary. You must understand that the greatness of your vision is tied to the character that you have about that vision. Hallelujah. That when you're confronted with trials and tests and temptations about that vision, mostly trials and tests, that it has come to show your strength. It came that you may see how strong you are.
Amen.
You understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
My vision is to make Christ known in Delaware. Let's take that for an example. My vision is to have a good family and a good home, a good marriage. My vision is to ensure that my children are raised the God way. Then trials and tests comes to that vision. Those trials and tests has come to show me my strength, to open my eyes to see the strength in me as it relates to that vision. It hasn't come to kill me. But if I don't see it that way, I'm going to complain, I'm going to quit, and I'm going to run. There is no way you run in this world where there is no trouble. None. It's only heaven you will go. And if you're not ready to go to heaven, stop running. Hallelujah. Help me tell your neighbor, if you're not ready for heaven, stop running. Every vision must be tested. Character must be developed if the vision is to survive. A character of empathy, compassion in marriage is needed if the marriage is going to survive. The character of understanding, forgiveness is needed in relationship if it's going to survive. In family dynamics, because they're going to offend you. The vision to make your family better is not going to go without a challenge and a fight. I was talking to our son in South Africa yesterday, and he was in the car with me, and I was telling him there's something going on in South Africa, and he's trying to deal with it. It's a cultural and a spiritual thing. He's trying to confront it, and the more he's trying to confront it, the more he's becoming hard. And he was telling me, I said, no, you cannot compromise on that.
That's right. That's
you're going to hold on to what God have told you. You're going to ensure that you don't give room for compromise. Because what you're fighting, the vision God has given to you to bring about change in this area, is something that has been accepted in that country for a very long time. So you're not going to get it easy. God has given you a vision for your family. But what God is asking you to change in your family has been existing. Maybe before you were born. So people are going to ask you, who are you, small boy, small girl? Who are you to tell us now? Where did you come from? You think you know better than we do? The things we are confronting in society today as it relates to the moral decadence of this century has been existing. So you talk to people, the vision is challenged, but don't run.
Amen.
Running is not an option.
Amen.
You're going to hold on. Help me tell your neighbor, hold on. Change is on the way. Say it one more time. Hold on. Change is on the way. Say it if you believe it. Hold on. Change is on the way. The vision we walk, the vision will be fulfilled, the vision will be realized. This principle cuts across every strata of vision, even in your finances. It cuts across. Don't quit. Quitters never win. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there and allow the Lord to strengthen you. What we see from this scripture is that not everyone has the foresight and insight and the character needed for the realization of corporate vision. So, take for example here, Rebuilders Apostolic Ministry. God spoke to us about building a house for Him. We all know the need for it. But often you may hear people and see people who say things and do things that you wonder, aren't they aware of the need for this thing? Why do they talk like that? Why do they behave like that? The challenge most of us have when it comes to corporate vision is that you fail to realize that not everybody is where you are. And you expect in your mind that everybody must be where you are. So you get offended. I said to you who have seen the vision, I said to you who have believed in the vision, I said to you who understand it, run with it. When it comes to corporate vision, even if it's in your family, and nobody's seeing what you're seeing, please keep on running with it. Because if you keep yourself there trying to convince everybody about it, you go nowhere. Hallelujah. When you see it and believe it, be like Caleb. He said, no. We are able. We're not going to sit back here. We can do this thing. We can do it. Him and Joshua, they say we can do it. But the remaining guys, they say, who are you? You know nothing. This is an impossible task. But remember that it was God who gave that vision. Please write down in your note, God does not set anybody up for failure. God does not set anyone up for failure. And I pray you think about it. God does not set you up for failure. It's not in His nature to set anybody up for failure. Hallelujah. When character is lacking, visions die. So as we consider four characteristics of a visionary, please let your heart be open to truth and accept it as truth from God. Every vision requires the character of courage and faith. Requires what? Courage and faith. We see that with Joshua and Caleb. Courage and faith. No vision is ever accomplished without courage and faith. Courage is the inner strength in the face of pain and opposition. Courage is the inner strength in the face of pain and opposition. It is the key to sustained passion. Courage is the inner strength in the face of pain and opposition. It is the key to sustained passion. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Bible recorded the story about David. Remember that it is God who gave David the vision to be king over Israel. Remember that David never prayed. There is nowhere in the Bible where it is recorded that David sought the Lord to be king of Israel. As a matter of fact, when Samuel came to his father's house, nobody considered him. He was not called. So the issue of the vision of kingship for Israel was not David's priority. The guy was okay taking care of sheep. And for many of you who complain, God has invaded my life, it is not yours. God has changed everything I wanted to do. It is not yours. I've said it in this church. Salvation is not forced on anybody. But the day you get God saved, you lost your life. And if you lost it, stop complaining about what God wants to do with it. Oh, why has God called me to do this? Why is God asking me to do this? Who do you think he should ask? If he doesn't ask you, who do you think he should ask? Aren't you happy he's asking you? The young man at 17, his life was invaded. He lost his youth. He didn't have any girlfriends. He didn't run around with girls. He couldn't go partying. Because as soon as the oil came upon him, his troubles began. As soon as the oil landed, his family hated him. His brothers didn't want to see him. They knew he has become somebody else. He goes to Saul's kingdom. Saul thought he was a threat to his kingdom. Everywhere he stepped in, what he never began from became a problem for him. How many of us have lived in caves for 13 years, running because God oil came upon your head? Come on, people. It's not, let me say this. You may think I don't understand, but walk in my shoe and see what it looks like. I say it to say that when the vision of God in your life changes the trajectory of your life, understand this, that there is great greatness in that vision. It is not for nothing. It is not for nothing. It is not for nothing. And in that scripture, this man now married with children, running around in bushes and in caves, the very tent that he had built was raided. His family was taken. The children were taken. The people who were with him picked up stones to throw at him. He didn't consider that. The Bible says he went to seek the Lord. And he asked a question that I wouldn't ask, because I'm not sure what the answer will be. Should I pursue? What about if he said no? So what happened to my wife and my children? Will I recover? And God said, pursue. You will recover. But before that, the scripture say, and David encouraged. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Inner strength in the face of pain. Inner strength in the face of pain and opposition. He sustains passion. Every great man who have built an enterprise, every great industry you've seen today, those who founded them were people of courage. 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 There is never any enterprise that succeeded just as it began. None. None. The man who manufactured 7-Up in Atlanta, the story is that he tried 6 times. Now, trying is not just experimenting. Financially involved. And he failed. The 7th time he went up, he said, this shall be called 7-Up. Everyone who have ever tried to do anything that their vision called for never got there. Oh, some of you want to go to Dallas? You like T.D. Jakes? Have you read his story? Have you read where he began? Did you know he was digging trenches while he was still pastoring? Did you know that? Did you know that the first churches where he pastored somewhere in a nightclub, Sunday morning they will come to sweep bottles of beers that were broken overnight and fight? But today, Potter's house is not where it used to be. When you quit, you kill destinies. He could have quit it. He could have said, no, I'm tired of this. But he saw the end of it. I pray that you grow in God. Where you don't look at the moment, where you become a man and a woman of courage, whose passion is sustained in the midst of pain. Where you see, the Bible says in Hebrews that they saw the invisible and they believed in the impossible. You can't get it done by wishing. You must be engaged. You must be engaged. One of the greatest churches in Nigeria is Oyedepo's church. When he started in Kaduna, for years, no growth, no nothing. Well, he persevered. Redeemed Today began 1940-something. It was in Lekki Beach Crusade that the revival that brought forth Redeemed was birthed. Every street in Nigeria, there's a Redeemer. All over here, there's a Redeemer. But men stood. They prayed. They sought God. They were courageous. They believed in the vision. They stood on it. Where we are coming from, it started in a storefront. Storefront. People used to sit with blocks. That was the chair. When Benson Idahosa began Church of God mission for years, until God began to move him. So those of you who like running to big churches where you go hide, when will you gain muscle spiritually? Because you've learned the act of war and praying through visions. You think that Rebuilders Apostolic Ministry belongs to Jennifer and Morgan? Then why are you seated here? Every phase of this ministry is meant to challenge you to develop spiritual muscle. Amen. Vision requires courage. Are you courageous? Are you courageous? Are you courageous? Do you have the resolve to stay in? Look at it. Friends who jump in and out, they never are good friends. You know what I'm talking about. People who jump in and out, they're never good. Young men who don't stay committed to a friendship and relationship can never be good husbands. Because they're going to run. When the going get tough, when the why becomes something else, they will speak in tongues. I love the girl. Hallelujah. But I somebody shout hallelujah. Faith, in the other hand, is confidence in the nature and character of God, or God of the vision. You have confidence in the nature and the character of the God of the vision. Faith also is an inner resolve to believe that you can do it. You can do it. Not just God can do it, but I can do it. Amen? That if God said you can, it means that you can. If God says you can, he opens doors of the supernatural for you. So faith goes beyond just believing what God can do, but also believing that if God said this is possible for me, I accept it that it is possible for me. Hallelujah. Look at me, everyone in this church, please. Everyone you have admired who are out there today doing exploits did not arrive there without what I'm telling you today. They got there because they were determined and courageous. They had faith. Even those of them who don't believe in God, they believe they can do what they want to do. It is faith. Amen. They believe it. And they work for it. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Number two person is Moses. Very quickly, I have two more. We're done. Moses. Numbers 12, 1 to 9. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. Please take time and read it. The Bible establishes there that Moses is the meekest man on earth. Meekness. Teachability. Meekness. Amen. When you read that story, time will fail me to talk about it. But Moses had a brother and a sister, an elder brother and an elder sister. As a matter of fact, the elder sister was instrumental in the survivability of Moses. She was the one who was there by the bank of the river watching over. So this small boy that I raised now has grown up and is a mighty one in God. And she said to herself, what makes him think that he's the only one God speaks to? Why? Because the guy went and married an Egyptian woman, an Ethiopian woman. What is your business with who he married? You know the problem many of you people, church people have, eh? Your problem is you put your mouth in things that does not concern you. Oh, why is pastor doing that? Leave pastor and God to decide that matter. Don't get yourself in trouble. Thank God I'm not doing anything that you're questioning. But those who do what they do, please leave them to the God who called them. Leave them. Don't go get leprosy. Because your mouth cannot keep quiet. The man went and married an Ethiopian. God saw it and has said nothing about it. When did you become the mouthpiece of God? It needs to stop. Because the man you speak against has the key to the grace of your greatness. It is scriptural. Paul says, I am poor. But I've made many of you rich. I have debased, and many of you have abounded. Why? The grace upon my life opened doors for you. Hallelujah. That nothing else can open, not your prayer. It is God's economy. You can't reverse it. The man had, they were talking against him. And he kept quiet. Who answered? God called a meeting. Miriam, come here. Aaron, come here. Moses, stand there. Who asked you to talk about his matter? He said, this man is the meekest man on earth. That was God's testimony. There is no vision that can survive without meekness. You know why? There is no vision that survives without you walking with people. No matter how great your vision is, you need people. And if you're not a meek person, you cannot walk with people. Oh, some of you, I don't have patience for people. Go find it. Find it. Because the Holy Spirit has given you the fruit of patience. Get it out of that closet where you've locked it up. Because it, you are uses it for whatever you want to do. I don't have patience. You lock it up there. Open the door. Let it come out. Meekness helps you to handle issues that pertains to vision. It helps you to handle issues that are painful and difficult and allows you to be patient so that you don't develop resentment. So that you don't develop resentment. Any visionary who is resentful towards those he's working with in accomplishing any vision, they get nowhere. Hallelujah. You can't resent your family and pray for them at the same time. You can't resent people and pray for them at the same time. It's not possible. So if you have resentment, please throw it out of the window. Don't go with it today. Kick it out. You don't need it. Become meek. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vision exposes you to human weakness. He exposes you to the dark aspects of people's life. But meekness, when you possess meekness, you will remove yourself from the equation. And your focus is on the big picture and the greater goal, which is the kingdom of God. You remove yourself from the equation. You focus on the kingdom of God. Even when people insult you, you say to them, you know what? I'm going to take that for Jesus. I can just take that for Jesus. But I'll tell you, that is not good. You can do better than that. In the spirit of love. Because without love, edification is impossible. You can't build people when you don't love them. It needs meekness. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus was very meek and he fulfilled his vision. In spite of knowing what he knew about Judas Iscariot and all that followed him, he was meek. Are you meek? Are you meek? Number three is called persuasion. Character three, persuasion or deep conviction. Persuasion and deep conviction is the same thing. Deep conviction. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, beginning from verse 17 to 24, that Abraham was persuaded. He was persuaded. He had a deep conviction. That God who has spoken is faithful. Therefore, he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, neither his own body that was as good as dead. But he hoped against hope. For he counted him faithful who has spoken. If you're not a person of deep conviction, you are too shallow to be a visionary. Shallow people cannot be visionaries. People who are easily swayed away. People who are easily convinced and influenced. Be a leader. Be a leader. It's not everything people tell you, you gotta believe and follow.
It's not supposed to be so.
Deep conviction. I believe that this vision is going to work. Isaac will come. But you're almost 100. He's coming. How do you think he will come? God said so. And you believe it? Yes, I believe it. Why? I have tried to bring Ishmael and he told me that is not his plan. So I'm not trying again. I'm going to wait. By the time Isaac came, it's no longer a prayer point for Abraham. He stopped praying for it so long ago because he came to the place where his conviction became his prayer. His conviction was his prayer. He knew that God can do it. What is it in your life today that looks impossible, people? What is it that has taken time? Are you convicted that God is able? What is it that you are hoping, trusting, believing, and desiring to see happen in your family? And it hasn't happened. Please, don't lose your conviction. For the Lord who has promised, he is faithful. The last characteristics of a visionary that helps for the fulfillment of vision is called determination and prayer. Oh, some of you didn't know that prayer is a character. The Bible says that you ought always to pray. Character is something that you do that is exhibited consistently, isn't it? Is it not so? Anything that is seen in your life consistently. And the Bible says that prayer must be seen in your life consistently. Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to chapter 5, verse 1 and to 3. Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says there that Queen Esther, having by God ordination, being enthroned to kingship, to queenship, and the consequences of Saul's disobedience was still living with them after Saul also was killed by his consequences of disobedience. You know that who killed Saul was an Amalekite. You know that? The ones he refused to kill. The problem he refused to deal with came back and killed him. You remember that? And here now they are still dealing with the same problem. Now, at this point, Esther made a statement. He said, if I perish, I perish. Until your vision consumes you, that you're willing to die for it, you can never accomplish it. Until your vision consumes you, that you're willing to die for it, you cannot accomplish it. Whatever you want to do in life, whatever you want to become in life, cannot happen by you just wishing that it does. Some of you are in school. Let a vision of accomplishing that program be real in your spirit. Let it consume you. It may keep you awake at night, but don't quit school. You fail a subject, go get a tutor. Learn how to do it. Don't quit. Hallelujah. The marriage is stopped. Stay there. Look at where you miss it. Raising the children has been taught. Look at what is missing. Recalibrate. Be determined. Don't quit. Quitters do not win. God has called you to succeed. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be great and to exhibit the greatness he has already put in you. But that cannot happen if you keep on running away. Bow down your head this morning as we pray. You need determination. You need determination. You need determination. Psalm 139 verse 23 and 24 was the morning devotion today. And he says, search me, O Lord. And see if there be any iniquity. Iniquity is not always sin. Unbelief, doubt, things that are not supposed to be in your heart can constitute hindrance to your vision. So this morning you're going to pray that God will help you. Renew the strength of my vision. Renew the strength, O God. Let me, O God, today refocus. Let me, Lord, refocus. Help me to refocus. Help me, God, to refocus on the vision that you've given to me. Help me, Lord, not to run away, abandon sheep, and let go of the vision you've given to me. There are destinies tied to your vision. I want you to pray this morning that God will revitalize you. He would quicken you. He would encourage you. Pray in the name of Jesus. As you pray, also pray for yourself that the resources you need for the accomplishment of your vision, God will give it to you. The people you need that needs to come alongside you to help you fulfill vision, God will give it to you. Pray this morning that your heart stay firm on the Lord, that nothing will move you. The Bible says that we should be unmovable, always abiding in the work of God. Lord, help me. There are many things that if I look at them, Father, they are going to distract me. Help me to stay focused. Grant me grace, O God, not to give up. Help me, Lord, not to throw in the towel. It is difficult. Lord, frankly speaking, left for me, I wouldn't want to. But I know that this is what you want for my life. Grant me the grace of obedience. Help me, Lord, to stay true and stay committed. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. The vision you've given to me for my family, the vision you've given to me for my children, the vision I have for my marriage, the vision I have for your work here on earth. It is the year of kingdom vision. Lord, you want us to win so. You want us to disciple people. The vision I have, oh God, to be used by you to bring people in the kingdom. Lord, help me not to lose sight of it. Help me not to give up on it. Grant me grace today. Grant me grace today. Grant me grace today. I thank you. I bless you, Lord. I honor you. I magnify you. I exalt you, Lord. I give you all the praise. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. You are my strength. You are my helper. You are my strength. You are my everything. Lord, with you, I know I can make it. With you, Lord, I know I can make it. With you, Lord, I know it is possible. So I thank you. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody